everyone, and welcome to today's ILTA presentation. My name is Stacy Ost. I'm with the User Support Services Peer Group, and I am thrilled to bring you today's topic, writing voiceover scripts for e-learning, and how critical it is to do these ahead of time. Our guests today, Kevin Siegel and Jenny Ruby, both of Icon Logic, and at this point, I'm going to turn it over to them and let them do their own introductions. Kevin, Jenny, take it away.
Thank you, Stacy. Hello, everyone. My name is Kevin Siegel. I am the founder and president of Icon Logic, Inc. We are a publishing and e-learning development company. We also do a significant amount of training, both in-person and online. Our specialty, really, over the last several years has been e-learning, and Jenny and I together have created tons of e-learning content, tons of e-learning scripts, and tons of voiceover scripts, and voiceover scripts is the subject of today's session. Jenny, I'd like you to go ahead and introduce yourself, if you would, please.
Sure, and I've been with Icon Logic for many years, and first of all, as a classroom trainer, I started off in publishing, but then moved into training when I found out how fun training can be, and then I was a classroom trainer for many years before discovering the joys of online live training, followed quickly by the joy of creating e-learning modules and having them go out and do the training for me. And what I teach at Icon Logic are how to write the voiceover scripts, how to write training documents and documentation and scripts for e-learning. And I also teach a number of classes on business writing in general, writing for the web, and those kinds of things.
Great. And as for myself, I teach the Adobe Captivate software, the Adobe RoboHelp software. Basically, anything involving technical communication and writing are the classes that I teach for Icon Logic. And speaking of e-learning, when I teach Captivate, and Captivate's a relatively easy program to learn. I also teach TechSmith Camtasia Studio. And the tools aren't the problem. I think just about anybody can use those tools to create interactive content on the computer or soft skills. What we discovered pretty early on, however, if you do the e-learning yourself, if you haven't spent the time to create a step-by-step script, some people call them storyboards, that will be used as the basis of the e-learning, what you end up with is an absolute hot mess. And if you think about some of the worst movies in history, and I give examples in some of my books that I've written about Captivate and Camtasia, books like movies like Godzilla or Battlefield Earth, which feature John Travolta. John Travolta is a wonderful actor, so why was his movie so bad? He had no script, so he had no chance to deliver a good movie because the script was so bad. So without a compelling e-learning step-by-step script, which Jenny teaches how to do, your e-learning lesson is doomed right from the start, just like any book would be doomed if you didn't map out the lesson plan before you started writing. So we created that step-by-step script writing course to teach people how to write step-by-step documentation and e-learning, and that's great. It all worked out well. But then we found out, Jenny and I, that there have been studies that say this now, that voiceover, if you add audio to a presentation, it adds perceived value. And there was a study done that I found fascinating, that there was a website that said, look, here is a link that does not contain, it's an e-learning lesson that does not contain audio. And right next to it is an e-learning, a link to an e-learning lesson that contains audio with a little asterisk that says, first of all, if you click this link, the audio is not very good. We're going to be honest with you. The quality, a lot of static, it's not the best quality. The volume's not very good. And it's going to take a long time to download because audio adds significant bandwidth to your lesson. Jenny and I were stunned to find out that 90% of the people who had the choice between one link and the other went with the link that had the bad audio. So that told us, from a perceived value perspective, people would rather have audio versus no audio. And it is true, audio does enhance the lesson.
Yes,
the problem comes in. Jenny, what's the problem with voiceover? What have you seen happening?
Well, first of all, to just also reiterate that voiceovers not only add perceived value, but also real value. They have done studies that show that lessons that do have a voiceover do create enhanced engagement with the material, which leads directly to greater retention after the class, greater ability to apply the information to real-life situations, and so on. So the voiceover is both perceived value and real value. But to see any voiceover as effective is a little bit of a mistake, because we have seen over and over that people try to wing it and record the click-by-click through a piece of software while they're just kind of winging it as to what they're saying. And
you're trying to tell me, Jenny, it's a bad idea just to hit the record button and just start talking and blah, 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 blah.
That's what I'm saying.
And also, isn't it a great idea to just keep your voice as monotone as possible, you know, like Bueller, you know?
That's
so
right.
So what you're saying is no way, right?
No way. You've got to have a plan for what you're going to say. I'm sure that all of us have heard that kind of recorded off the tip of the tongue kind of thing, where the person ends up saying the same words over and over again, like, now I'm going to go ahead and click this. Now I'm going to go ahead and click that. And so you don't want this to be you. You want your voiceover to be professional sounding, and also to move the lesson ahead, make the learner feel like they are interacting with an instructor, and also make sure that you are not adding extraneous, distracting things, but are staying on topic yourself. So having the script written ahead of time is a crucial piece of having a full script before you sit down in front of Captivate or Camtasia in order to create the e-learning.
Now, I want to tell everybody that when people ask how long is it going to take to write step-by-step scripts and e-learning voiceover narration, I can tell you that for every 60 minutes of step-by-step scripting or storyboarding, you should budget right around 80 hours to write it. And then you're going to have a separate script, strongly recommend a separate script like Jenny's been talking about, that's going to be for the voiceover. And the time to write the voiceover, because it isn't as detailed as far as you can't miss a single step, because if you do, the e-learning script won't work. It's more conversational, which for a lot of people is easier to write than writing the minutiae of a step-by-step. You should budget about half of that time above and beyond to write 60 minutes of voiceover. So really what you want to budget is 80 hours to write 60 minutes of e-learning script content and 40 hours to write the voiceover script. And you've got to have them, two separate scripts. So, Jenny, I was kind of hoping that you would talk to them about the things you should say during your voiceovers and one big thing that you shouldn't.
Yes, exactly. There are things that you should say in the voiceover. For example, the voiceover is the best time to give, the best way to give your introductory narrative. What's an introductory narrative? It's where you tell the learner what they're going to get out of the upcoming lesson, why they care, how it applies to their actual work, and also how the software tools or tricks you're going to teach them are going to actually make things easier for them in the workplace, and so on. So that introductory narrative in that voiceover sets the tone, gets the learner interested, and welcomes the learner to the lesson. After that, then you have to decide for each screen or so of material you're going to show, when should you have a voiceover with that versus are there times when you should not have a voiceover with that? And they have shown that the voiceover is pretty much going to be useful for explaining complex diagrams or animations. For example, if you are teaching about the solar system and you have like a little animation of the planets going around the sun, that is a good time for the voiceover to explain what's happening. Now, the one thing you should not do is you've got something moving, a video, a nice graphic on the screen, you've got the voiceover, that's it right there. What you don't want to add to that is fully typing out what the voiceover is saying on the screen in addition to already two things going on. Having three things go on, too much. And so don't have both screen text and a voiceover and some kind of an animation or a complex graphic going on.
When we get to that, Jenny, I want to clarify something. True or false, the voiceover, the thing being said by the voiceover talent, shouldn't exactly match what's happening on screen. So if there is a text bubble, they're called call-outs in Camtasia and captions in Adobe Captivate. If the caption says, select the file menu, shouldn't the narrator just say that out loud, select the file menu? I mean, wouldn't that be great? Easy.
Yes,
good idea, bad idea.
It seems like it wouldn't be a bad idea, but they've actually done studies where they find that if the voiceover is simply speaking the same way that on-screen instructions can do by saying, click this, select this, and so on, after just a short while, the learners feel like the voiceover is too bossy, and it starts becoming an unpleasant experience, like they're being ordered around. So at a minimum, the voiceover has to add a little bit more wordiness to make it polite, just softening it a little bit by saying, now let's go to the home tab.
Or go ahead and click the file menu, that kind of thing.
Yeah, go ahead and click the file menu.
Haven't you also found that if the voiceover narration and the text on the screen is identical, it's a distraction to the learner? They're like, wait a minute, am I supposed to be listening or reading? And by the time they noodle that through, how many screens have gone by in that e-learning, and are they lost at this point? What do you think about that?
Exactly. That's exactly right. You can't have the screen moving on, the audio happening, text appearing and disappearing at a rate that the learner can't control. They will feel panic. They will get distracted by trying to see if they can read it before the voice finishes it and that kind of thing.
What you don't want is an e-learning student who's panicking, oh, my goodness, can you imagine?
Right, exactly. And so the only time that will work at all is if the learner can control the speed at which the screen advances. If you give them plenty of time to hear the voiceover and then read, and then nothing's going to happen until they click, well, then you could get away with having both the audio and the text on screen. But for most of us, that's not going to happen. We're going to be recording something that moves right along, and you don't want to leave that learner feeling, wait, I didn't get it all.
Right. Now, you know what, Jenny? One of my favorite things to eat is cheese. I love cheese. Cheese everywhere. But when it comes to e-learning, I kind of feel like you should leave off the cheese. You want to explain?
Yes, yes. We talk in our classes about the cheese factor. The cheese factor is so easy to fall into with voiceovers and e-learning, where you're trying so hard to involve that learner that you generate fake enthusiasm, fake-sounding glee over what's happening on screen. Or maybe you fall into language that's a little bit too childish because you feel like you're teaching and you go back to an elementary school level or something like that. We can fall into using stereotypes if we haven't planned what we're going to say in advance. And so we do want to have some personality to our voiceover, maybe even an on-screen avatar or an on-screen alter ego that's doing the talking for us. That can be very effective.
But yeah, that's absolutely right, because my on-screen avatar would look identical to Brad Pitt, which
there
I'm
often compared
to. There you go.
Exactly.
Right.
And so that's going to be very beneficial if Brad Pitt is teaching you this lesson.
So now what I'm curious about when I write my own scripts, I want to make sure that I'm not writing content that is what we refer to as empty verbiage. Jenny, you want to go into that a little bit?
Yes. Empty verbiage is anything that might be introductory material, but it hasn't introduced the learner to the material in a way that the learner can absorb. For example, often a printed lesson will start with, like, the title of this section, like this, Red Eye Elimination Procedure, Part 1, Lesson 3, Instructions and Practice are included in this lesson. If you think about it, that if the person who's about to take the lesson, something about their camera software, and they don't know what Red Eye is, it doesn't matter to them that you're going to give them practice and all of that. That ends up being empty, as opposed to giving them something that they can hook their knowledge into. Have you ever taken a photo of someone and seen their eyes turn out red? This is a common problem called red eye, and in this lesson, you will learn how to eliminate it with just three clicks of your mouse. And
that
so that's
awesome, because right away when you said part one, lesson three, My eyes rolled back in my head, Jenny, and I went, whatever, dude. I'm not even going to listen to this. Matter of fact, I'm going to Facebook.
Yep.
You know? So see ya. So that was awesome. Yeah, and I'm 100% with you. It's got to be conversational. And you're talking to people, and what you might get away with in print by saying part one, lesson three, in a print document, I think when you see that part one, lesson three, people kind of block that out with the human eye. They don't even look at it. They look at the words, instructions and practice or whatever. They look at the words, but when you're talking, you got to be conversational.
Yes, exactly. And conversational means plain language as well. In our longer classes, we talk about how ways to make sure you're being conversational, even if you're talking about a technical topic. The only technical long multi-syllable words that should be occurring in the voiceover are words that are necessary technical terms for the topic you're on. You should not be using a lot of three-syllable, four-syllable words unless you absolutely have to. For example, listen to the difference between not plain language. Here's an example. If implementation of these objectives cannot be accomplished within the designated time parameters, the project supervisor must be notified. Now, what you heard there, several multi-syllable words. It's also written in passive voice. And what we'd like to see in a voiceover is something more like this. If you need more time to complete the work, please consult with your supervisor. And I think most of us would agree that latter one is going to sound more like a colleague is talking to you in a friendly manner in the workplace rather than a textbook is being read to you.
That is awesome. You got another example of that? Because I think that's really helpful.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I collect these examples as almost a hobby. Here's one that's pretty extreme. In situations where the remote control is occupying an unknown situational context, utilize the commands on the front panel accessed by opening the portal cover. And so what exactly is going on there? So many difficult vocabulary words were used to get this message across. They're really trying to say the following. If you lose the remote control, use the buttons on the front panel behind the front door. And so when you get it down into plain language, it's going to help the learner quite a bit.
That's awesome. You know, I'm a military background, and a lot of people tell me, boy, oh, boy, sometimes it sounds like you are a drill instructor, and it's true. So what may work for me as a live trainer, either in person or online, may not work in e-learning because I'm being too direct, maybe acerbic.
That's right.
You want to talk about that?
Yes, that's you cannot be too direct, meaning too directive, like I'm giving orders constantly. That voiceover gets old really quickly if all it is saying is, now click this, now type your name in the field, now select this, and you
storm
really
the beach,
have
storm
to.
The beach.
Yes, storm the beach, abandon ship, whatever it is.
Right.
You don't want to be just a kind of giving commands one after the other. You have to soften it down. And what I like to picture, and I recommend for people to picture, is you're at someone's desk with them, and the voiceover should sound like, I'm your buddy, I'm your colleague, and I'm helping you work through this process on screen, and I'm talking in a conversational way. I'm friendly. I'm positive. I'm upbeat. And the learner is going to feel like they're getting help rather than being ordered around. And so that's a crucial thing to remember in writing that voiceover script.
Awesome. Now, I know that the classes, if people are interested, they can come to iconlogic.com. And right on that homepage, they'll see information about e-learning courses, Captivate, and writing classes. And one of the things people tell us, and Jenny, you can elaborate on this, is people say it's really helpful that they learn how to format and organize their scripts for ease of use. You want to talk about that as we wrap up?
Yes, absolutely. The one of the things that I hear the most commentary about at the ends of classes is how they feel so much more organized and approaching the whole project of e-learning by having a well-written script to start with, and especially by having the voiceover written ahead of time so they know what to say on each screen. And we also, we present in the classes a way to set up a grid and organize each segment of the training so that you know what you're supposed to show on screen, you know what you're supposed to have the student click or do on that screen, and right there beside it, you have clearly formatted how to say the text that goes on that screen. And then you're set whether you're going to read that yourself or whether you're going to hire voiceover talent, perhaps. Either way, you have it synchronized so that there's a way to join the voiceover right to each screen of the learning.
I hope you guys have enjoyed today's session, learned a little bit, and I would encourage you to go to iconlogic.com, and you'll find the classes that we discussed. We have Introduction to Captivate, Advanced Captivate. We offer e-learning development if you need help with that. We can write the scripts for you. We can write the voiceover for you, or you can come take the class with Jenny and learn how to write the step-by-step documentation for e-learning and how to write just engaging, wonderful voiceover content for your e-learning. Thank you, everybody.